Welcome, welcome, welcome to the PNR podcast. It's your favorite bats right, throws right podcast host, Michael B. Proud. Today is episode 20. We're at a Barry Sanders mount. Who'd you think I was going to go with this week? We're rolling on 20-inch motherfucking Dayton's, baby. That's a Bum Fights reference. This episode is entitled Royal Rooting, and that's a Red Sox reference. A lot of references to start this episode. But if you don't know what the Royal Rooters are, they were like the first like fans, and this is what this episode is going to be about: being a sports fanatic. The Royal Rooters were, like I said, I think they were the first fans. Or at least the first fans that were kind of like an organized like fan group. So, yeah, you should look them up. They have a kind of interesting history. It probably won't really interest, you know, people outside of Red Sox Nation. But, I don't know, the more you know, it might be one of those sort of things where even if you aren't like a Red Sox fan or whatever, you're going to look it up anyways because you want to know more about it. So, yeah, Royal Rooters, look them up. Circa 1908. Enough said, McGreevy. Third base. Genius name for a bar, by the way. Because, you know, you had the third base before you head home. So that's where he sort of went with naming his bar that. You go to third base and then you head to your house. So yeah, that was genius, by the way. But enough about the Royal Rooters. Let's get into social media before we get into the meat of the episode. As always, because I don't think Facebook's gonna let me change it. Porel PCast. P-O-L-R-E-L, last name, P-C-A-S-T, Twitter, @ the PNR podcast, all together now. And then Patreon, because that's the other one I like to plug. That's the space P space ampersand space R space podcast. So those are the three I always go with. I've been working on my... what's the name of that motherfucker? It escapes me right now. Instagram. I've been paying a little bit of attention to that. So I've actually done a little bit of work on that. Still a ways to go, though, before I feel comfortable throwing that out with the rest of them. But at least I'm starting to make an effort on that one because I guess it's good for marketing. I don't know. I don't know yet. I haven't seen any results, so... So that's the social medias, though. This is episode 20, Royal Rooting. Let's get into it. Okay, so I have been a sports fan since I was, like, coherent. Maybe not that far back, because I feel like I was coherent since day one. But a legitimate shot at being coherent is, like, 1986-ish. Like, around one or two. That's when you start forming, I guess, your first... legitimate memories. So yes, as far back as that, though, I feel like I've actually like been a sports fan, though. Like, honestly, like I do remember watching sports, and you know, because my father and my brother were into it, and I just remember baseball cards being around the house even before I collected them. I remember writing on my brother's Bo Jackson rookie. I didn't know it at the time, but I found out later it was that card. So I've always been, as far as I can really remember, I've always been a sports fan. And if you're like, well, you don't remember 86 or 87, okay. So let's just figure out a year where I am like legitimately coherent then, if you don't believe me. From that year, you can establish it from there. I'm a sports fan. Like I said, it's always been something that, even if I didn't really understand it at that age where I first started seeing sports, there was something about it that, you know, it drew me into it. Maybe it was the hearing the crowd or watching these things run around, which, you know, was the athletes, but I didn't know that at the time. There's just always been something about it. And then, you know, if, like I said, if you don't believe me... If you don't believe a 2-year-old can appreciate it, then okay, let's go a little further on then. What's a good age then? 3, 4? Like, wherever you want to set the starting point for me, the jump off point. I've been a sports fan since then. So if you can't respect, you know, me remembering these things as a 2-year-old, at least don't insult me, you know, as I grow older. So let's say 4 or 5. Okay, then. I was a sports fan since then because it was the same thing. I didn't really understand what was going on. I didn't understand the rules. I just saw, you know, people running around with a ball, you know, having a good time, maybe hearing the crowd cheer for them. You know, it was sort of things like that. That's what kind of captured me. Now, as I get older, you know, my taste for these sports evolves. It's, well, oh, I like this player. This player does well within the confines of the rules and so forth. So it's not so much that I, you know, there was one thing that brought me into the sport, but then I stayed for another reason. I guess is the best kind of, you know, analogy to use for it. I came for the excitement. I stayed for the competitiveness or the expertise or, you know, whatever reason you want to throw out there. My earliest, like, genuine connection with it, though, more so than, you know, just seeing a bunch of guys with a ball running around, getting paid, not knowing it at that time, but getting paid to have a good time. And now I'm very aware of their situation, and it kind of pisses me off. But that might be a topic for a whole other day. But back to what I was saying, though, my first, like, really coherent, you know, really realizing what's going on is Red Sox games. I used to watch baseball. Is, you know, they didn't have Nesson. Oh, I'm going to touch on them real quick later. They didn't have Nesson back then, though. So you'd watch, like, these games on, like, local networks or whatever. And it wasn't the amount of coverage between, like, when you had, like, the game of the week, which, I think CBS or NBC was doing at the time, or ABC, or somebody was running a game of the week sort of scenario with baseball, because baseball was still hugely popular back in the late 80s. You know, even with that coverage, and then, you know, between what your local channel would put out, it was probably only, like, 100 games, if that, like, I mean, it doesn't touch what it does at this point now. Because like I said, you have the Nessens and stuff. And I don't know, if they want to shove it down your throat, they will. And it feels like you could actually watch all 162 games one way or another with the amount of coverage they do for baseball. But back then you really didn't have that. But I still do remember, though, occasionally, either my brother was watching it or my father or both. And I just remember kind of, you know, watching a little bit of the games. I think it was on, I feel like it was maybe on like Channel 7 or something in Boston. I feel like that's who broadcasted it. I just remember, you know, occasionally watching the games on TV, though. But that's like my first, like, cause you know, I like all sports, but that's really my first, like I said, where I really melded with it. And I want to say that's like 1988 or like that's 88 or 89 was like when I was like, oh, okay, that's the Red Sox. That's Wade Boggs. That's Roger Clemens. And, you know, so forth. That's when I started kind of, you know, recognizing, my favorite players and whatnot. But after not too long after that, I started collecting the cards, and I'm very familiar with the first cards I started with, because I have a love affair with these cards now. Like, this is my favorite set, and you know, it has such like a cheesy 80s feel to it, but I still fucking love these cards. And this is one set where I think, you know, if I ever get the money, and I'm just like, I have this money to blow, I'm gonna buy this set. I think I would. And I can't even tell you, you know, whose rookie cards are in there, who were the all-stars. I remember Warren Spahn was like the Hall of Fame card. So that might actually give you a clue of what set I'm talking about. But that like rainbow sort of Donruss 89, those are like my favorite baseball cards, and that's where they started. And as nice as the Upper Deck stuff was that was starting to come out at that time, that's my favorite sets. My favorite sets are all those Don Russes from like the 80s and the 90s. I think it's because you can't fuck with the Diamond King, basically. Like that's another thing I should have actually brought up. I don't know who the Diamond Kings were in that set, but yeah, I mean, just seeing like you get a Mike Greenwell Diamond King, there's like no better feeling when like you're a 5-year-old boy. So the Don Russes, that always has a soft spot for me, but especially like that 89 set. And, you know, a coworker of mine, actually my union boss, well, vice. But anyways, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, actually. He was trying to get me into card collecting. And I don't want to ever do it from a spot where I'm kind of gambling with it. That's kind of what he suggested I do. And I told him I'd at least look into it, and I did. And I'm like, I can't gamble because, you know, there's so few of these pay off, like the Mike Trouts and the LeBron specials, and so few of these do. And I mean, you can even have some guy who's a megastar and his card's still worth like garbage 10, 20 years down the road. Well, not garbage, but not some sort of big payoff or whatever where I spent hundreds of dollars getting these cards and then maybe I flip it for like $1,000 down the road or whatever. Maybe I get a couple hundred. So, you know, long story short, I'm not going to do it, but I would like to get back into collecting, at least for what I said, you know, get that 89 set, and then maybe if I have more cash to just throw away, you know, buy all the Donrusses. Because then when you get into the Russ sets, like the 85s and the 87s, it's like, oh, there's a Roger Clemens in the 85. That's, you know, that's an expensive rookie. Or Greg Maddux, who's probably like one of the best pitchers of all time, he's like in the 87 set. So that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. But it's just like I said earlier, I have that soft spot for these Don Russes. Another set I would really love to get is the Score sets. Because that was a company that had like, they had like the Hitmen and the K-Men and stuff like that. And they just, they had those like the sunburst effects behind it, or starburst. Oh man, that shit was so cool. But I wouldn't go out of my way to get that, though. I just remember that being cool as a kid. But, okay, I don't want to talk about, you know, baseball cards and whatever card you want to mention, because, you know, this is not really an episode about that. But I guess it is an important part of the history. And there's also one thing I remember about, you know, my fan experience as a kid was, I swear to you, I don't remember the specifics about this, but I feel like there was a cartoon, and it maybe didn't feature the voices of these guys, but I feel like it featured the likenesses of, like, I think Jordan was one of the guys in the cartoon, and, like, Gretzky was another, and, like, Jose Canseco, because, like, Jose Canseco was, like, the best baseball player at the time they were producing the cartoon. Like, he was 40-40 club and stuff like that. I swear to you, like, this was, like, a cartoon where, like, the best athletes of, you know, at the time, and, like, the, you know, the major four were, like, crime fighters or something insane like that. And I'm not, like, making this up. Like, I swear this was, like, a cartoon back in the day. Like, this thing existed. Like, these, like, the best, like I said, the best athletes of, like, the major four sports in America were, like, I don't know how to describe it besides, like, they were vigilantes or something, but they were, like, superheroes besides being good at their respective sports. Like, I'm not, like, bullshitting you or anything. Like, I may be wrong about this, but I feel like this was a thing. And I know I have, like, a great imagination or whatever, but I don't feel like I, like, made this up. Like, I feel like this actually was, like, a cartoon that I used to watch in, like, the early 90s or something. Like, I legitimately remember, like, a cartoon like this. But I hope I'm not wrong, and then you start thinking I'm some sort of fucking maniac or something. But yeah, this was like a real cartoon, and I should have looked it up, honestly, before I decided to do the episode. Oh, that's one thing I should have mentioned at the beginning of the episode, too. Murph Dog was supposed to come on this week, and he didn't. So I really had to come up with a topic like quick and make a show quickly, and somehow I did. And I think it's a good topic and it will make for a good show. But so he's gonna come on later on. I don't know what's something happened. He couldn't do it. It's fine. These things happen. So down the road, like it's like Chris is coming on next week. We're gonna talk hip hop, and then Leroy the week after architecture. I'll try to get Murph Dog on then, try to get the politics one, Rabbi, back to Lee and Paul, and then, I don't know, back to topics a little bit, but then try to get Lee back again, because there's a lot of topics I want to do with Lee. So, yeah, like I said, it was supposed to be that this week, if you're disappointed. I'm so fucking sorry, not really, but I feel like this is a good topic, but... So that pretty much just, you know, before I started keeping track of players and stats, and I knew the rules, and I knew how the game was played, and, I mean, they'd still surprise me every so often, like with protests and stuff like that. Before I knew, you know, actually I should say, let's move on, because, you know, that was before, and, you know, let's move on now. But that just pretty much should establish to you, you know, how I've always felt about sports and whatnot. One thing I wanted to cover is teams I would never support. I mean, I have favorite teams, and I'll get to them. But these are three teams that you'd never see me wear fan gear for or, like, anything like that. And it's, let's just throw it out there, the Yankees in baseball, New York Yankees, New York Jets. And the Habs, which are the Montreal Canadiens. That's their nickname, Habs. Habitants, Farmers or something. I don't fucking know. All I know is they have an H in the middle. So they're like giddy about that little Habs nickname or whatever. Yeah, that's three I never support. And that's just, I don't know, you're kind of raised that way around here. You're raised to hate those teams. And granted, there are people from here that like those teams. But for the most part, no. And it's likewise in New York. Like, I'm sure 9 out of 10 New Yorkers are either Yankees or whatever fans. And then you have that 10% that's like, or less, that's Red Sox and other teams. But that's kind of the same way here. When 90% of the fans are Red Sox, and then you have a sprinkling of Yankees fans here and there, and then, you know, other teams and whatnot. So those are the teams, though. The New York hockey teams are, they've kind of always been a joke. And that's why those three teams down there really don't get some sort of hatred out of me. Because it's like the Rangers have been to, what, 2 Stanley Cups in like 30 years, and they've won one of them? So, you know, big deal. And then you have the Islanders who won, you know, those 4 in the 80s, and then they haven't done anything since. I don't even think they've been to, like, a conference final since then. And then, you know what, though? One of my favorite sports owners owned the Islanders. And they owned them for a very brief period of time. And I think I need to talk about that in another episode, because John Spano, that guy was, ooh, that story is wild as hell. And he's one of my favorite owners, because even though he sneaky, like, suspect sketchball sort of tactics, I gotta like a guy who owned a team without really owning a team for a year or two. Like, I don't know how long he pulled that scam off for, but. Again, I'll talk about it on a different day. But, yeah, so there's, you know, that Islanders owner. And then the Devils is almost like the Rangers. It's like they've been to 2 Stanley Cups or three or something, you know, in like 30 years, and they won one. Big deal. So those, you know, the futility of these New York teams doesn't threaten me as a fan. Montreal, on the other hand, is a perennial, like, contender. Most Stanley Cups, gone to a lot of them. Thorn in my side. And, you know, the two teams I root for are original sixes. So that being established, yeah, they've been a pain in the ass to both of the teams I like. So I fucking hate the Habs. And their fans are just, all these sort of fans are obnoxious, but then again, I really mean that, like, universally. I'm not going to say, as, you know, a fan of the teams I support, I'm not obnoxious or the fan bases aren't. Granted, there's, you know, the severity of it, but these three are definitely severe, though. Maybe as severe as the ones I root for, but I guess that's just, we're always going to have that part of, you know, it builds on the animosity where it's like we feel like these guys are fucking obnoxious even though we recognize that we are. So, yeah, those are three teams. Like, I'll never wear the fan gear. I like that player, so I'm going to wear this. Jeter respect. Let me get a respect t-shirt because I respect Jeter. Oh, yeah. No, motherfucker. And that's not to say I don't respect them or shit all over their history or whatever. Like, if somebody hands me a Babe Ruth Yankees jersey, I'm not going to throw it on the bonfire. Like, give me a fucking break. Like, I'm not stupid. Like, I respect the ghosts of these teams. But that's about as far as it goes, though. And I'm sure it's likewise with them. It's not like they, this is a Tris Speaker's bat. Let me fucking burn it. Like, no one does stupid pinheaded shit. I mean, come on. Be real. That's where anybody would draw the line, I guess. So just know that about me, though. As much as I hate, like, the Yankees and the Jets and the Habs, it's not like I particularly, you know, I disrespect the history. Like, I'm very aware of who Ken Dryden is, and I wouldn't burn Joe Namath's socks. Like, I don't know. I got respect, and I think all sports fans should, even if you hate the other team. Now, if you notice, though, I left basketball off that list. So then you're probably saying, "Well, Mike, what basketball team do you not support?" Basketball's always been a weird thing with me because it's not that I hate particular teams. Like, I do. I mean, there's flat. Like, I hate the Nets right now. Definitely hate the 76ers. The fucking Heat pissed me off. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that they're clashing with Boston, and it is what it is, and that's why I hate them for it. But at the same time, I'm not so specifically rabid when it comes to basketball, because I don't know if it's not that I follow the Celtics, but I don't hate a particular team unless they're giving the Celtics a hard time right now. And I've always just been more about following the player, which that it helps when the Celtics have somebody that I particularly like Paul Pierce. And then, you know, nowadays it's like Tatum, Jaylen Brown. When the Celtics have these guys, then it makes it even just better for me to watch, because, I mean, I've watched shitty Celtics teams too, don't get me wrong. A lot of those years with Paul Pierce were terrible. Like, we had a few, you know, playoffs here and there, but a lot of them was like, we'll be lucky to be 40-40 this year, basically. Like, we'll be lucky if we break 500. So there was a lot of, you know, bad years there, and I still watched because I followed the Celtics. But like I said, with basketball, it's more like I follow a player, and I don't really feel like I'm even alone on sort of things like that, though, because how many people were just Bulls fans solely based on Jordan? And they may have stayed Bulls fans after, too, but I think they might have just became Bulls fans solely based on that. Or how many people just follow LeBron? Like, they don't give a shit about the Cavs or the Heat or the Lakers. They just follow LeBron. And I feel like my kind of guy like that was Shaq. Shaq is probably, he's maybe not my favorite player of all time, but he's very far up there. Like, if I was going to do, you know, a Rushmore of my favorites, I don't know. Oh, damn, would I pick him? If I was going to do a Rushmore of my favorites, he might be the basketball player I go with. But you got to understand, I have huge love for Bill Russell, too. So that's, you know, that's kind of where, and Larry Bird, of course. And then, you know, like I said, Paul Pierce. You're looking at, that's probably my, like, three favorite Celtics right there. Russell, Bird, and Pierce. But, you know, regardless, though, let's go back to topic. I feel like basketball is one of those sports where maybe you're more of a fan of the player rather than the team. And that's why, you know, like I said, Shaq's my favorite, and I kind of just followed him wherever he was. That's why I would root for the Magic or, you know, the Lakers or whatever. And I know that's kind of sacrilege for a Celtics fan, you know, to root for the Lakers. But like I said, Shaq was my guy. It was all about Shaq. I didn't give a fuck about the rest of the Lakers. I didn't care about Kobe or that one random year with, like, Karl Malone and Gary Payton where they didn't even win shit anyways because they're all fucking ball hogs. But that's the thing. It wasn't about Kobe specifically. If Kobe did well, that Shaq did well, then good. But that's what it was all. It was all about Shaq with me. Shaq was my guy. And Shaq was my guy before he went to the Lakers or before he went to the Suns. Or before he went, I mean, this guy's been all over the place. I mean, he was even a Celtic for a year. That was an awesome year for me because even though that was the tail end of Shaq's career, I still loved having him in fucking green. You better believe that. So when Shaq came to the Celtics, I was super fucking happy. But that's the thing. I've always followed Shaq. I followed him since he was coming out of LSU because I was like, this guy's going to be special because I already saw it in college. I already said Shaq was exciting enough in college that I was like, I couldn't wait till he got to the pros. And you have that every year, though. You can always pick somebody in the NCAA that you're like, this guy is going to be awesome. And sometimes, you know, they don't pan out or whatever. I mean, how many guys go in the top five? That is like one or two. That's like one's good. And then a few will be like an all-star like a couple times. And then the others like busts. Yeah, you have that all the time. But I remember, like, Shaq was one I remember. And then, like, Tim Duncan was, like, another one I remember. Because, you know, he's a Wake Forest guy, so that's kind of, like, a rival. And I'll get into that in a second, what I mean by he was a rival. But that's, like, two guys I remember, you know, coming out that was, like, these guys are going to be, like, a big fucking deal. And, of course, like, LeBron, Durant's another one. He spent 1 year in Texas and... Yeah, you have these guys here and there. But like I said, that's like, you know, Shaq was one, Tim Duncan's another. I remember these guys coming out and they were going to be a big deal, and they were. So that's kind of, I guess, my, before we move on, I guess it's just my thoughts on basketball, though. That's why even though I hate the Yanks and the Jets and the Habs, I don't really have a basketball team I hate. I might hate the Lakers if they pass us in banners. Then I'll be like, all bets are out of the fucking window. You can have Shaq and like fucking all my other favorite players, dead or alive, on the Lakers, and I'll still hate them for that. So, so as long as they don't pass the Celtics, I guess we're good. But teams I do support now. Teams I do support. This is, boy, I don't know if I want to get into soccer because that's just so many. There's so many leagues and there's so many teams. And let me just ramble those. Like Chelsea's one, Inter Milan, Bayern Munich, AS Monaco, Benfica. Is that it? I don't even. All right, so I got the soccer ones out of the way, because like I said, that could go on and on. If you want me to pick national teams, Portugal, and like I always have the soft spot for like Holland every year. I don't get it. Of course, America. I root for America too. Germany. I try to make sure I watch Germany. So there's like four national teams. That's like all the club teams, I think. Yeah. So let's get into the major four though, and then the colleges real quick. So for baseball, I like the Boston Red Sox. Like I said, the first real sport I followed, first team I really followed. And then, of course, you know, these other ones, you can tack it on at the end, but this, you know, Red Sox were the first. And I've always had a B team, because I've always liked to have this other team that I can watch on, like, a, you know, a day off, and they're not, like, a real rival to this team, you know, that's my A team. So the Sox are my A team. B team is the San Francisco Giants, and it's San Francisco is kind of my second home. I didn't spend a lot of time in California. I didn't, but I spent enough where, and I wanted to be there though. So it wasn't like Kansas where it's like you're forced, you know, whatever, buddy. Be a Royals fan on fucking Red Sox off days. Hell no. I almost got into a fight outside the K. I think I've told that story. That was a weird fight. I almost got into a fight there. And then my wife went to the bathroom. And these two girls started flirting with me. It was, even though I was a Red Sox fan and they were Royals, it was weird. One Red Sox fan was being rowdy, loved the guy. I tried to like be like cool with this Carlton Fisk one, and he was just like not having any of it. And I'm like, oh, okay. What's going on with you? Okay, so the K is weird though. And yeah, like I said though, I got forced to be in Kansas, and I got forced to be in Polk, so I wasn't gonna be like a Houston Astros fan, because that's like kind of like the closest MLB club is the Astros. So I wasn't gonna like all these teams for the places I got forced. I wanted to be in California. So, yeah, San Francisco was like a second home to me. Like, I wanted to be there. So that's why SFG is my second team. Yeah, like I said, I loved San Francisco. And I'd watch the Giants on, you know, when the Red Sox weren't playing. And I actually tried to get out to a game where they were both playing, but I had to study, so it just wasn't in the cards. And you'll find a lot of nights out there. I mean, granted, on the weekends, no, everybody's, like, doing whatever. But Sunday through Thursday, hell no. Like, you're studying every fucking night, so it was what it was. Yeah, like I said, tried to do that, didn't, but I made SFG my second team, because I'm always going to have a spot in my heart for San Francisco. I'm hoping to get back out there again. I want to take the kids to the Golden Gate, the zoo, you know, all those crazy buildings, the streetcars, you know, everything that's great about San Fran. I'm just going to keep them out of the Tenderloin. I want to go back to Frisco with the kids, and the wife liked it too. And definitely want to go a little north, see the sequoias and whatnot. But that's talk for a different episode. So let's go on to football, I guess, next. We'll do New England Patriots, of course. I've made that clear far before this episode that I'm a Patriots fan. And then my second team is, I'll explain it, it's kind of strange, is the Washington Redskins, or as they are now, you know, Washington football team. My only connection to them is that they used to be Boston's team. And I looked at the history. Sports history I'm huge on. Like, maybe that's even something I should have mentioned. Like, I am crazy, crazy good with the history of sports. Like, I can name all these different teams and the way the leagues were and the way the game was and all these different players. And I don't know. Just, like, whatever it comes to with, like, old-time sports, I love it. And that's how I know, you know, The Skins were the team in Boston till about like 1934, and then they moved to Washington or whatever, and then, you know, it is what it is. And then we had to wait a while because it's like the AFL needed markets. They saw that Boston, you know, no competition there. So they offered them a team, and we got one, and it's worked out pretty good. And it almost worked out pretty bad, and, you know, maybe I'll, dedicate an episode to that, to why, you know, Patriots fans are the way they are because you don't fucking understand what was going on in 92 and 94 and all those important years where, you know, Robert Kraft is, he's the key. Like, that's why he's my favorite sports owner. Cause he saved the team. He was a ticket season holder. He made a lot of money off a paper company. He said, "I'm gonna save this team because I love them and I know that New Englanders do. We're not gonna let them go anywhere. Cause we almost moved to St. Louis. We almost moved there, and look how much they fucking appreciate franchises. They'll never have another NFL franchise ever again, unless there's some sort of crazy population boom, and they're like, okay, we can, you know, there's like 20 million people here now. We can definitely support a team where there's 75,000 seats in a stadium. Until something like that happens, they will never get another football team. And they probably still win it because the NFL is going to keep it in their memory like, you fucked us twice. You're done. So, that, like I said, that could be a topic for a whole separate pod. I'm sure I could talk 30 minutes or longer about why, you know, you guys hate us. And I don't give a fuck, and this, I ramble off the reasons, and like I said, I can get it, but damn it, this is about other things, this episode, so let's move on. Hockey. Boston Bruins, Red Wings. Red Wings are kind of my team because they really appreciate hockey there. And that's not to say that other cities don't. Like, Boston certainly does. But Detroit, maybe more than anybody except for maybe Montreal and maybe, like, Toronto. Those other Canadian cities, yeah, they love their hockey and whatnot, but I feel like Detroit is probably, like, third to anybody and first in the United States when it comes to hockey, the dedication there. So that's why Hockey Town, you know, I love the Bruins, but I also love the Red Wings. And here's the problem, though. This used to be no problem. Because one was east, one was west. And then they started tinkering with, like, expansion and stuff. And so it's like, okay, move them in the same division now. So I'm not happy about that change. I like the Red Wings rivalries more when they were West because, you know, it was fun, like, versus the Avalanche and the Blackhawks and stuff like that. And it's now when they play each other, it's really not there. And I don't feel like they've really formed, even though they've been years now in the East, they haven't really formed the rivalries with the teams out here. So, you know, this was a bad move. And they could have moved somebody else or, I don't know, kept it on. I don't really understand how that all works. I don't really know where they make the decisions because it's like the Atlanta Braves were in the NL West for crying out loud for like 30 years. So I don't understand how any of that works. But with that out of the way, though, yeah, that's those are my two teams, though. And hopefully I'll get my wish someday where the Red Wings can move back to the West and then it only gets interesting if they, you know, they meet in the Cup, basically. Because right now there's not even a rivalry there, though. So I don't even really need to worry, I guess. Because the Red Wings really haven't established a rivalry with anybody in the East. That's just the way it is. I get excited more when they play some of those old West teams. But like I said, it's not even the same at that point, so. All right, like I said earlier, the basketball team I root for is the Celtics. And then any team that Shaq has ever played for. You know, at the time that he played for them, I should specify. Okay, college teams, I really only follow, like, college basketball and college football. I do follow college hockey somewhat. I don't really follow college baseball at all, though. Like, occasionally, they'll be, like, this player, like, Jack Leiter's the guy now. And so I'm not like some sort of Vanderbilt fan, don't get me wrong. But I mean, I'll watch college baseball when there's like some crazy prospect down there that's worth watching. But I don't go out of my way to do it, or like I said, I don't really follow any of the college baseball teams. That might have been different if I went to like, you know, some place like some university where like they have a good baseball program. But I just, you know, I went to BCC and I was thinking about going to the Q. So that pretty much tells you all you need to know. Oh, and then Barton, because I took LSEC. So that, like I said, that pretty much tells you all you need to know, though, about, you know, my education versus who I'm going to root for. So we'll do college football first. Huge Notre Dame fan. And I don't understand how that happened, because my uncles were these big BC fans. So I don't know how I fell into Notre Dame. My brother's a Notre Dame fan. So, I mean, I kind of understand, like, there. But I don't know why he didn't follow BC and then, like, me follow BC by default. But maybe my brother can explain that story to me. But it helps that I'm Catholic, too, though. Being Catholic helps following Notre Dame. And I guess Irish guys like Notre Dame, too, because, you know, fighting Irish or whatever. So, I don't really understand how I became a Notre Dame fan. But I do understand somewhat how I did. And I do understand why I remain. And that's who I root for in college football. Moving on now, we'll do basketball. UNC Tar Heels. And this is something that pisses off a lot of people, and I'm gonna throw it out there. I'm gonna share it with you. There's only two college basketball programs, UNC and Duke, and that is it. And I love it. It pisses off the UCLA guys, you know, and the Kansas Jayhawks, Rock Chalk Jayhawk, and like I said, it pisses off a lot of these random, you know, fans of the all these programs or whatever that feel like they're somewhat legitimate. Like they've won a national championship or two, like Kentucky. That's like another one that stands out, and so forth. Like Syracuse, they have some pride. I don't know. It's like a lot of those teams have. But yeah, and this is the only time that Duke fans will stand with UNC fans and vice versa, because there are two basketball programs. If it ain't UNC or if it ain't Duke, it ain't a basketball program. I've always loved that philosophy. So yeah, go Tar Heels. Yep, a huge Tar Heels fan. I don't know, just good history there. There was a lot of, you know, as good as Dean Smith was, there was a lot of years of futility, but they were always still, they were going to things now and again. But yeah, I love UNC. And I as much as I hate Duke and the Cameron Crazies or whatever, like, you know, I still respect the school, though. And as a matter of fact, I'll disclose this much. If Duke were to give me a scholarship, not a sports scholarship, but like, well, I wouldn't piss that away either, because, you know, that's for free money. But I mean, if they were to give me a scholarship in general, I'll just say, to make sure I at least, you know, really got an education, though, I would totally take it in a second. If Duke was like, yeah, we want you to come here and study chemistry or, I don't know, whatever, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm on the first plane down there. And, well, I mean, I can't have that same attitude now because I have a family and whatnot. But, I mean, if I could find a way to figure it out, then, yeah, hell yeah, I'd be down there. I'd be like, okay, I'm a student at Duke now. This is good. This is good for my future and whatnot. But let's get back to sports. There's two college basketball programs. University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Duke University. That's it. And I love how that pisses off everybody else. Because what about the Michigan Wolverines? Or I don't know, just whatever. And just, no, there's two. Even on bad years, that's what's funny about this team. Sometimes they have a bad year recruiting or whatever. They're still competitive. They'll still go to the NIT and, like, fucking clear everybody out. Like, and granted, the NIT is not some sort of illustrious thing to win. It's kind of like a runner-up thing. Like, it's like saying, oh, you're a good team, but you weren't good enough. Play in our tournament, you'll still, you know, you'll still get something out of it. You'll still look good if you win it all. So, you know, it's a nice, cute little banner. But the NIT, you know, it's not the real deal. They know it. Anybody watching the NIT knows it. It really feels like just a runner-up thing. I'll watch it if UNC's in it. That's really about it. While with the other tournament, oh, I'll watch a lot of it with UNC or not in it. Like, I mean, it's better if UNC is in it, and almost every year they are. But like I said, I'll watch the tournament regardless, really, because that's how much I love the tournament. So we got to cover college hockey before we move on. So Boston University Terriers. And Boston has four awesome teams. Usually all of them are playing in, you know, the Frozen Four or whatever. Well, maybe not all four, but usually like two or three out of the four. Usually Boston College goes to that every year. I think maybe the Terriers have done more. But I, you know, Boston College lately I feel like has done more. I'm still a Terriers fan regardless, though. I love BU. That's another school where I feel like, here's a scholarship. I'd be like, well, fuck yeah. And same for BC, though. Because I'm... Bottom line, I'm not going to piss away a good education. So BC would also give me, you know, a good school to go to. But back to the sports, though. This is a sports episode. BU Terriers are my team. Love them. A lot of guys went to the pros. But that can also be said about BU. Harvard has a lot of good players, too. Smart guys, too, though. Smartest out of the four. And then Northeastern, they deserve a mention. Because, like I said, you know, two to three out of those teams are always in the Frozen Four. So, congrats to UMass, by the way, this year. As much as I want, you know, BU to win the damn thing every year, it was kind of nice, at least, that, you know, a Massachusetts school did win it. UMass won the Frozen Four this year. Good for them. And, again, like, all these New England schools, like, these are where, you know, these hockey guys are going. Like, this is... Granted, you have, like, schools out, like, in, like, Minnesota and stuff like that, you know, they have, like, legitimate hockey programs. Even Notre Dame. So, a couple schools out in the Midwest or whatever. But, you know, New England's where it's at as far as hockey players. If you want good young hockey players that, you know, aren't from north of the border, then you're going to find them in colleges here. And that's not even to say that some of these Canadian guys don't, you know, come to the school here because, A, they wanted to do college, and or, B, they wanted to polish their game, or, C, both. Like, so, you know, these are where the schools are at. So that's why when, you know, Massachusetts does win a final, Frozen Four, rather, and, you know, the Beanpot teams, which are the four Boston hockey programs, you know, when they go to the... It's no shock to me. Because, like I said, it's where it's at. Massachusetts epicenter. But, I mean, the other programs aren't slouches. Like, UNH and Maine Bears and Providence College. There's a ton of these schools up here that are fucking beasts at hockey. All these Ivy League schools and stuff. Like, yeah, no joke. So, that covers the teams I do support, though. I decided to... You know, before I go, I wanted to kind of put a Rushmore out there. A Rushmore, as, you know, this podcast evolves, is something you're going to see a lot more often from me. And that doesn't mean that I won't still have a three list out there, or a five, or a 10, or I can't imagine a topic where I have 20, but maybe that will be out there. There's going to be one that has 100. That's on deck. That's going to be very specific. Yeah, that'll be a surprise. You'll find out why it's 100. But, yeah, so like I said, a Rushmore is something you're going to see frequently, though. That's going to kind of be a trademark of this podcast. With a lot of things, it's like, throw out the Rushmore. And, you know, because George Washington is considered, usually considered maybe the best president. It's either him or Lincoln. And, you know, they're both on Rushmore or whatever. But anytime I say, you know, who's the George Washington, that means they're the number one. So that's two things to keep in mind going forward. Is A, Rushmore is going to be something that's going to be featured prominently because we're always going to have four. I think four is a good number of things to throw out there. It's one of my lucky numbers, by the way. Just thought I'd give a shout out to four real quick on that. But yeah, a Rushmore is going to be something that we do. And when I say, you know, George Washington, that's going to be the one. And I don't think I'm going to have a George Washington on this. I might. But I thought I'd do a Rushmore of the four sports. Like, who's the best? And I didn't have such a problem with baseball and football. Even though football, you know, it's so, like, that is such a team game. When you compare that to anything else, it's hard to pick like a great, but I don't even think anybody would disagree with this one. Because even people who hate this guy now are just like, yeah, he's the greatest. What am I going to do? Am I going to keep talking about the stupid deflated fucking football? The one from, you know, the seventh grade science project that makes me look like a fool because I don't fucking understand Robert Boyle's principles with air and pressure and temperature. And that's what these people are saying, by the way. I understand this stuff. But you know, maybe if you don't even know who Robert Boyle is, start there, and then then we'll get somewhere. But, okay, so I decided to do a Rushmore. So, you know, there's four major sports in America. Baseball, football, hockey, basketball. Put them in any order you want, but those are the four. And then you have other, you know, this. I'm a guy who loves soccer, but it's not a major sport here. I'm not fooled by that. It is internationally. I guess maybe the only sport where it's, like, bigger now is, like, China's way bigger into basketball than they are into soccer. So it's, like, basketball and then, like, maybe, like, Formula One racing and then soccer. And that it didn't ever used to be that way. It used to be, like, you know, baseball and football here. And then hockey and basketball were kind of chilling. And then the rest of the world was soccer. And now it's kind of like football, maybe basketball. Like, I think that's maybe the 1-2. And then, like, hockey might be more popular than baseball now. But, like, baseball's been, like, just, like, struggling. And that's why they're doing all these crazy things to kind of change and get more fans or whatever. But I don't know. I guess that's just the natural progression of how things go. Maybe it's and it's accessibility thing, too. Because with basketball is the most accessible, like, out of those four sports. Hockey, certainly not. Hockey, it's like $1,000 to have your kid play hockey. Maybe not that expensive, unless he's, like, the goalie. But, yeah, it's, like, an expensive sport to get into. And football's not cheap, either. You got to buy pads and helmets and all that. With baseball, it's, like, if you buy expensive gloves and bats and whatnot, then, yeah, it is expensive. But you can find, like, you can buy, like, a $40 bat and maybe, like, a $50 glove and stuff like that. So you can get into the sport for under $200, I'm sure. Maybe the uniform is, like, the most expensive part. But, you know, you comparing that to a bat or a glove, that's actually pretty impressive that would be the most expensive. But basketball, all you need is a basketball. That's why that's the most accessible. You need like a $10 to $15 basketball, like a pump. What's a pump running? Like $10, maybe even less. $25, you're all set. And it's like any other thing. You can buy a more expensive bat. There's like I don't know, the NBA model probably goes like $100. I don't know. I haven't really looked into that. I buy like a cheap Nike or Wilson or whatever for like $20, $15 or whatever, and it covers me. But so yeah, it's like anything, it can get expensive, but it's not. So basketball is the most accessible. But I gotta get back to the Rushmore. So my Rushmore, because I covered accessibility. Now I feel okay with that. These are the four sports, and that's why I have a Rushmore. This is a perfect match. With baseball, I chose Ty Cobb. And granted, you know, what Ty Cobb is known for, three of the things, two of them have been broken. You had Pete Rose with the hits. And then right after that, Pete Rose, like, retired, basically. Like, I don't know if he would have played another season to get the hits. But he moved on to just being a manager, and then we all know what happened with the gambling and all that. But Pete Rose, that's, you know, topic for another day. I'll talk Baseball Hall of Fame. I got a bone to pick with them. I loved my visit there, though. Don't get me wrong. That place was awesome. But so Ty Cobb, 367, that still stands out to me. That's an incredible batting average. And you have guys that have kind of approached that, like, in the modern era, I think, like, Tony Gwynn got up there. Like, I think Tony Gwynn hit, like, 340 or 345 or something. So, that's crazy good. And then, you know, you've had the guys throughout history, though, that have been, like, close. Like Lefty O'Doul is, like, that's, like, a name that stands out to me for some reason. And then Rogers Hornsby, of course, though. Like, he hit, like, 358 and, like, Babe Ruth was, like, in the 340s, and, like, you've had all these great hitters. Honus Wagner, Tris Speaker, like, all these guys have hit way above 300, all Hall of Famers and whatnot. Ty Cobb, of course, Hall of Famer. What they don't really talk much about was defense, but solid at defense, and could hit home runs on command, but that might just be more of a legend. Because he said he hated Ty Cobb's game. He didn't think that made baseball fun. And he said one day, well, watch me go out. I'll hit a home run just to show you I can do it whenever I want. If this is true, he hit three home runs in that game. He said that before that, though, that he can get a home run whenever he wants. And so, like, granted, that might be very true if, you know, but he liked hitting triples more. Or he liked hitting doubles and then, you know, trying to steal or whatever. But that's the other thing that Ty Cobb was known for, though. And these records stood for a while. But like I said, Pete Rose broke the hits one. And Lou Brock, recently deceased Lou Brock, by the way. You know, I'm not a Cardinals fan, but rest in peace. I respect Lou Brock's game. You know, he broke the steals record. And then Ricky Henderson not too long after, because Ricky Henderson's amazing at stealing bases. I'm just going to throw that one out there. So Ty Cobb, though, I chose Ty Cobb. I think Ty Cobb's the best baseball player there ever was. And granted, I didn't get to see a lot of his stuff because you know, a lot of it's just pictures or whatever. But, you know, just reading the descriptions and seeing the stat sheets, and so that's enough for me to be like, yeah, this guy was the best and still is. So Ty Cobb is on my Rushmore of the Big Four. Next is, shouldn't surprise me, Tom Brady. And I don't want to get into some big, you know, deal with him about what he's accomplished. It's just silly to me, though, that this people that argue to this day that, you know, whatever they want to say about him, between performance-enhancing suggestions and the deflated balls and Spygate and just all that stuff's just stupid, and you're fucking clutching at straws, and it's pathetic. And I'm going to leave it at that. He's the best. It's very self-evident, and you're a pathetic person if you say otherwise for whatever bullshit, cockamamie, stupid, asinine reason you have. So I'm going to move on. With these next two, I had trouble choosing. So I'll throw both of them out there, and then I'll let you decide. And then maybe someday I will have a solid answer. And I'll tell you what way I kind of lean. I go with the hockey's Gretzky or Howe. Wayne Gretzky or Gordie Howe. I go with Gordie Howe. I just feel like he played in a tougher era, so what he accomplished in that era impresses me more. And then, you know, it's with Gretzky. I'm not going to take anything away from Wayne Gretzky, but I feel like he played in a simpler era. Because the guys like the guys like Howard, whatever, they just played in this like crazy rough era where hockey was. I'm not saying that hockey is like a soft pussy sport now, but it's just way crazier than, you know, when Gordie Howe did it than it is now. Like, let's just face the facts. And that still applies to Gretzky. And, you know, my friend pointed this out to me, and this is something else I've always actually thought too, and it was kind of just funny that he noticed it too, though. The goalie protection was way less during Gretzky's era, so it's easier to score, and I hate to even say that, but it's true. Like, the pads and stuff are way... It's way harder to get, you know, the biscuit in the basket compared to his day when they were... I don't know, just take a look at it, and you'll see for yourself. Like, the padding is just way less back then. So, of course, you know, the blocker is not going to... The puck's not going to catch a piece of the blocker back then like it will now, so... I don't know. I just feel like what Gretzky was able to accomplish was due to his era, and it's that simple. Like, while Gordie Howe, on the other hand, he played in a way harder era, and what he did was phenomenal. And I think, you know, Gretzky himself will tell you that, though. Not so much maybe with the reasons I specify, but he'll at least say, I think he would say to you that Gordie Howe is... you know, I think he would agree with me that Gordie Howe's the best ever, Mr. Hockey. And probably pisses off a lot of Bruins fans that I didn't mention Bobby Orr. And what Bobby Orr did was special, and, you know, the short amount of time that he did it. I just never felt like he was, you know, I don't feel like he was the greatest ever. Like, he's probably the greatest Bruin ever, and, you know, greatest defenseman maybe. But, like, you have some people who put him at the top of the list, and I just don't understand it. I'm not shitting on Bobby Orr, don't get me wrong. Like, I love Bobby Orr, but I don't know. I don't think he's the best. Like, it's just not even close. I can name 10 other players who are better, and you know, if I'm allowed to throw goalies out, yeah, then yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know if I can name 10 better defensemen specifically. I don't think I can do that, but I can definitely name 10 better players. So I don't put Bobby on the top of lists. That might, like I said, that might hurt some people's feelings, but that's just not fair to Gretzky or Howe or any of those players who are better. So Bobby Orr won't make my Rushmore. No way. Last but not least, basketball. I two guys I don't know who to choose. Bill Russell, Jordan. I don't know. And for a lot of people, it's easy. They're just, you know, Jordan. Jordan's the best. Yeah, I almost want to go there, but he's not the best winner. And, you know, Wilt Chamberlain was... like the best player for like 15 years. And the only guy that Wilt Chamberlain feared was Bill Russell. So what does that say to you? And granted, you know, those Russell teams had a way better supporting cast than Wilt ever had. But I don't know. I want to go with Russell because he's the better winner. I don't know who to pick, though. That's a tough one. Should I just lean Jordan? Because that, I mean, look at what Jordan accomplished. Not just the 6 championships, because, like, he's a hell of a winner too, clearly. But I just, it's tough. It's a tough choice. I don't know. Well, we'll debate that another day. But those are those two at least, though. And like I said, I kind of just want to go with Howe. I think Gordie Howe's the best because of when he did it. If Gretzky played back in that era, and he did the same things, and so be it. But I got to give it to Howe. That's a way crazier era to play hockey. and be as good as it as, you know, Gordie Howe was. So, okay, before we do remember 4 things, this is one other thing I kind of wanted to throw out there in the Royal Rooting episode is, are the following 3 things I'm going to mention sports? Golf, poker, and esports. And I don't want to get into it now, I just want to kind of throw that out there so you can think about it. So, are those three things sports? Now, this is one thing I can say about it, is they appear on sports networks or sports coverage. Because golf has a whole golf channel, so we'll kind of throw that out. But then, you know, and general times where a network would have sports coverage, like a weekend or whatever, they'll show a golf match if they, you know, there's no other bigger sport on, like football or something. And the same goes for esports and poker. World Series of Poker, there was one time where you could watch Texas Hold'em like all fucking day on like ESPN2 or something. So that's the question I pose to you, though. Are those really sports at the end of the day? I mean, they're covered like they are. Because like I said, you can see it on ESPN and whatever. Are those sports, though, or are they games? And like I said, I'm not going to get into some big fucking deal about this. But I feel like they're games. And that's going to piss off some people. No fucks given. Because I still like golf. I'm still going to play it whenever I can. I love mini golf. I love pitch and putt. I suck at real golf. But hey, I'd still play that too. I like golf in a lot of forms. I'll play the real sport. I'll play the video game. I'll watch it very so slightly. Like, I'll watch like the Masters, and maybe if there's going to be some sort of interesting match, then I'll go with that. But that's really about the extent of that. So, yeah, like I said, I don't hate on golf. I don't hate on poker. I love a good poker game. I haven't played in years. I miss it. I would love to get back into it. It's fun to me. I like going to the table and knowing whose money I'm going to fucking take away. Sometimes they'll surprise me. Sometimes they won't. I guess that's maybe what I like about poker as well. Just like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, well, this wasn't high stakes, so I don't care that I lost my money to you. It was interesting to see that, A, you were able to get it, and B, but, you know, I've done okay at poker tables now and again, so. But yeah, I love poker, but I would 0% consider that a sport. There is 0% anything athletic about it. And then that brings me to esports too, where playing a video game is a sport, really? Oh man, I could dissect that bit. Oh, whoa. I'm going to leave it alone though, because like I said, I just wanted to kind of throw that out there to you. Maybe you can tell me on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, I'm always putting that out at the beginning of the episode. Maybe we can discuss it there. Be like, hey, esports are a sport for this reason, or golf's a sport. Okay, motherfucker, they're games, but whatever. But like I said, acrimony or agreement, I'll hear you out at least. I want to know your thoughts on it, though. Please, PolrelPcast, you know, @ the PNR podcast. Please let me know what you think. Are these games or sports? I don't think they're sports. I think they're games, but maybe you could shed some light on them, make me think, you know, be like, come around me, like, oh, yeah, okay, that is a sport. I doubt it, but crazier things have happened, right? So, okay, remember four things. The shout-outs this week, I'm gonna throw out a bunch of sports names. And then, you know, when I reach, like, 20 or something or 25, I'll stop. But Mo Vaughn, Wade Boggs, Mike Greenwell, Roger Clemens, Carlos Quintana. let's throw out a couple more Sox. David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, Daryl Strawberry, only like one of the few Mets I like. Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, made the Braves interesting to watch. I could keep on going on and on. Ty Cobb, Sam Crawford. Let's name some Red Sox. Tris Speaker, Babe Ruth, Ernie Shore. Who else was good on those teams? Moving on, though. Let's name some football players. Andre Tippett, Drew Bledsoe, Julian Edelman. Enjoy your retirement, brother. I wish you didn't fail that physical. It would have been nice to see you play a couple more years. But, I don't know, Julian Edelman, Sam Gash, Kevin Falk, golly. I really should have wrote these down because I'm trying to go in my memory banks and think of these guys from back in the day. And it's not that I don't know them. It's just hard to compile a list like this. I don't know, though. Brian Bosworth and Bo Jackson. Let's go there. Danny Warfel. I don't know why that popped into my head. Because I'm starting to think of players that are busts now. Tony Mandrich. Shout out to Barry Sanders, of course. Because, like I said, we mentioned Barry earlier. So, shout out to Barry. One of my favorite Giants, Lawrence Taylor. Shout out to him. Randy Moss. I really should have wrote these down. It's okay. I got to get these shout outs out, though. Because this is what I want to do. I want to shout out to just some players I remember. Hockey, we'll go with, I guess. Sergei Fedorov, certainly. Stevie Y. Jerry Cheevers. Derek Sanderson is probably my two favorite Bruins. Maybe Bobby Orr. I don't know. But shout out to Bobby Orr, at least. Cam Neely, Ray Bourque. Terry Sawchuk. Stan Mikita. Mario Lemieux. Love Mario Lemieux. Love Super Mario. Like my only Penguins besides Jaromir Jagr that I like. So shout out to Jaromir Jagr. Shout out to Taylor Hall, new Bruins acquisition. Shout out to Brad Marchand, probably my favorite Bruin now. Shout out to Big Z. I hate to see you leave, but much love. Shout out to Patrice Bergeron. Shout out to Ken Dryden, one of the few Habs I respect. Who else? Shout out to Gretzky, of course. I don't know. That's hockey shout out. Shout out to Gordie Howe, of course. And then we'll do basketball. So shout out to Paul Pierce. Shout out to Shaq. Like probably my favorite player of all time. Shout out to Bill Russell and Michael Jordan, of course. Love both of those guys. Hard to pick who's the best. Shout out to Scottie Pippen. Heard he lost his son recently. That's not cool. It's shitty when I don't need to go through it to know that it's shitty that a parent outlives their kids. So shout out to Scottie Pippen. Great basketball player. Shout out to Dennis Rodman. You know, one of the best wrestling villains. Who else? Antoine Walker, employee number 8. Shout out to Isaiah Thomas, IT4. Shout out to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, of course, right now. Shout out to Kemba. No shout-outs to Kyrie. Put him on the whiny bitch list. Fuck that guy. Kyrie Irving's on the whiny. He's on my whiny bitch list. Fuck that guy. So it's Paul, Kyrie Irving. Oh, and I'm going to pick on somebody else after these shout-outs. I'm not going to pick on him. It's going to be justified. But, so yeah, shout-outs to them. Shout-outs to... Let's go to soccer real quick, and then I'm going to close out the episode. So shout-outs to Cristiano Ronaldo. Who else? who even plays soccer anymore? I can't even think of anybody. This is terrible. shout outs to Messi. Shoot. I really should have prepared the soccer ones. Killian's my boy, even though he plays for PSG. You know, I'm not a big fan of the French national team either, but I do love Killian. Shout out to Killian. Oh, golly. I can't even think right now. Shout outs to all them. Okay. Maybe, you know, and it's why, because I had to bring up Kyrie, and then this is going to stew on me now. I did a bunch of shout outs. That's great or whatever. And then, I guess I'll take Paul off the list, because Paul hasn't been a dick about the podcast lately. So, Paul, you're off the list. Kyrie's on the list for all that shit he did with Boston, being just like a fucking scumbag. And then, you know, I have friends who are flat earthers, and I like them. I don't like that they believe in that. It's, like, so fucking stupid to me, and believe me, it's going to get covered on an episode. But at least I like the people or whatever. So, you know, that's just another bad quality, though, that Kyrie has. But all that scoundrel stuff he did before he left Boston, I'll stay if you have me. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're such a fucking terrible liar. But, okay, so, you know, you fucking jizzed all over yourself to be on the same team as Durant. And I guess it's working out now, too. And, yeah, the Nets are beasts. Like, they're not fucking slouches. And, you know, they've made enough right moves where they're probably going to contend for the championship. But besides that... Okay, Kyrie's got to be on the bitch list for that, though, because the fucking, just like that scumbag shit he did before he went to the Nets. That was like 2 years ago, whatever. It's still bitter, because it's fucking scoundrel shit. Whatever, though. Here's somebody that deserves it, though, even more than Kyrie, I feel. And that's fucking Nesson. And you're going to, whoa, Mike Proud, you would say that about Nesson's so important. They cover this, that, and the other. Okay. If you have cable, Nesson's fucking great because it's on your cable provider or it's on your satellite provider. I had Nesson those few years I had DirecTV. But then I smartened up and I said, I'm going to cut the cable. And I did. I got YouTube TV, and I haven't looked back since, and I don't regret it. Even though they're kind of raising their prices, okay, I'll deal with it. It's not like cable's prices, so I gladly pay. But, so here's the thing, though. They raised the prices, YouTube TV. They added, like, 8 channels. It's like $65 a month now, I think, or something. Okay, I'm fine with it. Unlimited Cloud, that's why I stick with them. It's just Unlimited Cloud's is, like, the sole reason. I can record unlimited stuff. So that's the thing, though. YouTube TV, and they raised the price. Nesson's not a carrier anymore. They couldn't reach an agreement. And, you know, I always blamed YouTube TV for that one. I was, I pay this much, and I don't get Nesson anymore. This is outrageous. This is bullshit. I can barely watch sports now. This is a travesty. Blah, blah, blah. Anger. I talked to my buddy the other day. He's having the same problem with Hulu. So now I know it's just fucking Nesson being greedy. And that's why they're on the bitch list. Because don't fuck your fans because they don't have cable or satellite. Don't fuck us. Give us back our Nesson, damn it. We're paying this extraordinary amount of money. Don't be fucking greedy, though. Come to an agreement. But it must be your greed, because if you're not on Hulu or YouTube TV, it's your fucking fault at this point. It's not YouTube TV not being able to reach a deal with you. It's you being, I want a ton of money because, I don't know, whatever the reason. Whatever the reason, I don't know. I guess it's because it's nice to have more money than any amount of money less than that. I get that much. As a working class guy who's trying to pay the bills with this, but, you know, has to keep his daytime job till he gets the listener support. I understand that. I understand it's better to have a higher amount of money than any amount that's lower than that amount of money. But don't fuck your fans. Because a lot of your fans are cutting cable. A lot of your fans are getting rid of satellite dishes. A lot of your fans are smartening up and, you know, getting Hulu or YouTube TV, or I don't even know if you were carried on Pluto TV, or there's so many fucking carriers now that are not, you know, cable or satellite. Don't fuck your fans. This is bullshit. I hate to end an episode like this, like pissed off or whatever, but it's so true. Don't fuck your fans, because a lot of your fans are jumping ship off where you are still providing the channel. Put it on YouTube TV, damn it. Put it on Hulu. Take a fucking pay cut. I don't care. You got the money. You're all rich guys. Your franchise is successful. I mean, crying out loud, the same group that owns Nesson owns like a NASCAR team, and they own Liverpool, the freaking Premier League team. Like, LeBron James is one of your investors, for crying out loud. He's rich as fuck. Give us back Nesson. Fucking damn it. Ugh. Okay, I got to calm down. Give us back our Nesson, though. Don't be greedy fucks. Give it back to us. You can take a pay cut. Because like I said, as a guy who has to live at work to make money, I understand that better than anybody. Not these fucking owners who are probably silver spoon motherfuckers. I understand it better than you do. Because I have to earn my money. I wasn't born with it. Motherfucking greedy assholes. But yeah. We're ending the episode there. That's my shout outs. Two guys made the bitch list today. One got taken off. Paul, please stay off of it. That was shitty to be like such a dick about, you know, the podcast, but you know, you're going to be a guest in a couple weeks. Just stay off it. Be cool. Be the cool Paul that we like. Be the cool version. So shout outs covered, though. Bitch list covered. Quote, I'm going to use Ted Williams. Love Ted Williams. Red Sox, great. I thought this was, you know, because I'm a big charity guy, and this is going to be the lead into the charity, I guess. So, you know, as a big charity guy, I thought this was a good quote, and that's why I'm using it. all the bullets, and a military guy, by the way. So all the bullets and all the bombs that explode all over the world won't leave the impact, when all is said and done, of a dollar bill dropped in the Jimmy Fund pot by a warm heart and a willing hand. You should be proud and happy to know that your contribution will someday help some kid to a better life. And, you know, that's just the sad reality of the world we live in. That whether war is done for profit or, you know, to ensure peace or, you know, protect oneself, it's wars. War will only be more important, and it's something that's just, it's always going to, it's in perpetuity. It's always going to happen. It's going to be something that happens every so often. And that's a shame, because I like this quote, because I think charity is 100% better than war. But like I said, I mean, war is something that's always going to happen. So, but Ted Williams had it right, though. If you can spend a dollar on, you know, Jimmy Fund or any charity, it's better than spending a dollar on war. Because who are you helping with war, really? I don't know. Some country's getting helped by it, but it's... Because it's like, is that country getting protected? Is that country defending themselves? Then, yeah, that was an important dollar spent on the war. But is it just, you know, somebody being evil at some point and attacking because they hate somebody? They hate the culture, they hate the nation, the predominant religion, you know, whatever the case is. So, you know, sometimes I'm not going to say that war isn't, you know, essential. It's, there's that whole paradox that's associated with it, you know, to have peace, sometimes you have to prepare for a war or whatever. So there's that paradox. I understand it. But this is, like, that Ted Williams quote is just so much better way for the world to work, but I get it. So, you know, that brings me to donate to the ALS Association, ALSA, or ALS.org, either way, ALSA.org, ALS.org. It will bring you to the ALS Association. And because Ted Williams mentioned Jimmy Fund, that's another good... It's another good charity. They help with curing sick kids of cancer and whatnot. So donate to the Jimmy Fund if you don't want to donate to ALS. But, you know, please donate to somebody. Make this world a better place with, you know, whatever money you can spare. I already said I'm donating my whatever I don't pay Lee for being a guest. Or, you know, now that Chris and the other ones are coming on deck, I'm going to have to pay them royalties too. But whatever's left for me after their share... from the ad revenue, yeah, I'm going to donate to the ALS Association. So, and good night, Malcolm Butler in Arizona, because Helm pointed that out. You signed with the Cards, so good night, Malcolm Butler in Arizona.